everybody. I only made 55 handouts, so I hope that's enough. Who doesn't have one? Everybody got one? Well, good. Good, good, good. Well, I'm so glad you're here this morning for our lesson. It's been a busy week for me. Had babysitting and things going on. And so, you know, I don't know how this lesson's going to turn out. So, you know what? I'm glad you're here. I'm going to trust God to speak through His Word because He always does, doesn't He? Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, this morning we start, as we always do, calming our spirits, directing our heart and our mind towards Your Word this morning. And Father, I ask You to speak very powerfully and very personally through Your Word this morning into our lives. Father, would You bless every lady and her world and her home and her husband and children and grandchildren this morning. Father, would You take Your Word and make us to be lights in the very center of our worlds, that we might radiate Your love, Your truth, Your wisdom into all the dynamics of our lives. Our heart this morning says to You, we want to be women who are living according to Your Word, according to Your will, filled with Your Holy Spirit. For we understand, Father, that in our own strength we are nothing, that You are everything. You in us is our hope. And so this morning I'm trusting You to speak very clearly and powerfully through Your Word, as You always do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good, good. Norma, would you shut those doors for me? I'm so glad you're here, and this morning I want us to turn back to the book of Philippians. That's where we were last week, and we're going to go down a few verses and stop on some verses that are very familiar to us. We've been bringing our minds and our hearts to the Word of God each week in order that we might not be victims of worldly thinking. You know, the world has its own wisdom, right? But we have access to God's wisdom, and that's what we want to grasp as we study God's Word. We want to be women who don't think according to the world, but we want to be women who think according to the Word of God. And so this morning we're going to pick up, last week I think it was verses 7 and 8 or 6 and 7 out of Philippians. We're going to jump down and we're going to pick up with verse 10. And Paul is, by the time you get to chapter 4 of Philippians, that's the very last chapter. It's a very brief little letter, just four chapters. And as you come to the very end of that chapter, Paul is done now with what he's wanted to say to the Philippians. There were some doctrinal things that he wanted to say to them. And then when it comes to the verses that we're going to be reading this morning, they're sort of like a P.S. There's something he's adding on to the letter. It's like a postscript. And so he can't close it yet because there's just something burning in his heart that he wants to tell them. And here's what he wants to tell them. He wants to thank them for the personal gift which they had sent to him while he was in prison. There was a man in their church, a man, a precious man, a godly man, a man spirit-filled, and his name was Epaphroditus. And so they got this gift. Now, we don't know exactly what the gift was. It could have been food or clothing or provisions, or maybe it was just money. We're not sure. But whatever it was, they got everything that he needed. And they sent it with Epaphroditus to take to him. And so here's what he says in verse 10. Let's read it together. Paul says this, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want. And here's the key thing I want us to see this morning. Paul says this, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." Now he's going to expand that a little bit. Go to verse 12. "I know how to get along with humble means," he says, "and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And so they have sent him this gift. Now, surely you would think that there would be no problem in thanking people for a nice gift. You know, we don't write thank you notes like we used to. We send thank you texts. They're much more efficient and they're cheaper, right? But it's actually going to take him 10 verses as he closes this letter to properly thank them. He's anxious to thank them and to let them know that their kindness really did touch him. It really moved him very much, and he wants to make it clear to them how much he thanks them, but yet at the same time, he wants to let them know he was not dependent on them. And that's kind of hard to do. He's thanking them for their gift, and yet he doesn't want to give them the impression that the Lord was not sufficiently taking care of him all the time, even though he was in a very needy situation. And so he describes himself this way as he writes them. "Yes, I was needy. Yes, your gift meant a lot, but I've learned a secret. I've learned that no matter what's going on in my life, I am content. I'm satisfied." Let's look at that word for a minute. It's a marvelous word in Scripture, that word content. It goes way back to the Greek term, which meant, let's write a few things down. It meant self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. It means to be satisfied. It means to have enough. The term actually indicates, and write this down, a certain independence on his part, a certain lack of necessity for help or for aid. And Paul is saying, I've learned to be satisfied. I've learned to be sufficient in myself, and yet not in myself as myself, and here's the key, but in myself as a person indwelt by God's Spirit. He's everything I need. I've learned he's everything I need. He's come to a place, and this is what is available to us, ladies. Spiritual contentment. No matter what is state, no matter what is circumstances, no matter what is happening to him. And we have testimony that this is true in Scripture of him. Now, I think you and I live in the most discontent society there is. I think the more you have, the more you want. Is that not true? Enough is never enough. We have so much. If you don't believe me, just come to the garage sale. Because our abundance fills the whole gym, the whole Family Life Center. We are so abundant. We have so much. But Paul is saying that I don't care what my circumstance, I am content. Now let me show you that this is his testimony out of Scripture. I want to take you to a few places. For example, in Acts chapter 16, this chapter is describing Paul actually coming to Philippi and starting the church there. And they are now many, many years into the future. Their church is become established when they're sending him this gift. And can I just say, they loved him so much. Do you love the person that brought the gospel to you? Do you remember who it was? Does that person hold a very special affection in your life? Not only did he bring the gospel, but he developed them. He taught them. And so in Acts chapter 16, Paul is there. He has his partner with him, who is named Silas, and they actually cause a big uproar in the city of Philippi because everybody's getting saved. And guess what they're doing? They're burning their idols. They're burning everything that is connected with witchcraft. Well, the silversmiths are not real happy about that because that's big business for them. You start messing with business and people are going to come out screaming because money is always important. And so they have them arrested. And Paul and Silas are taken. They're beaten. They're thrown into prison. They take their feet. They bind them in stocks. I mean, I can't think of it getting any worse than that, can you? Yet it had no effect on them, because I want you to look at your handout at verse 25. There they were, and what were they doing at midnight? They were praising and singing praises to God at midnight. There he is, middle of the night, beaten, in prison, and yet he is content. He's completely satisfied in his circumstances. Let's go another place. I'm just going to mention it, and then we'll come back to it a little later in the lesson. In 2 Corinthians 12, that's the story of Paul's thorn in the flesh. And there he tells how he learned to be content, even though God had allowed a thorn in his flesh. And then I want to take you to 1 Timothy 6:6. Here is a more mature Paul, an older man, and he's exhorting his young son in the faith. And he's wanting Timothy to take hold of this principle of contentment. And look what he tells Timothy there. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. If you have it, you have everything. I have no idea what that little noise was. Somebody's talking to us. So he says, Timothy, the first thing you have to learn is to be independent of circumstances and conditions. And you have to learn that godliness with contentment is the greatest thing of all. And that was true of Paul. But Teresa, come on. Paul was a Christian rock star. Right? He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. I mean, of course you would expect him, Super Saint Paul, to be, you know, extremely godly, extremely content. But what about me? I mean, I'm just a little old woman living in 2025, way down the road of history. Is this true for me? It is. The New Testament makes it clear contentment is available to all Christians. Now, I want to say what this is not saying this morning. What am I not saying to you when I'm talking about contentment? And here's what I want to say. The Bible does not say that a person should be content just to stay in poverty, that he shouldn't ever work to better himself, that he should have just a, oh, well, I don't care attitude about life. That's not what he's saying. Because God created the man and the woman to rule and to reign over creation, to be diligent, to work hard, to be responsible with what God had given them as their charge, to rule and reign over the earth. The Bible doesn't say, oh, well, just be indifferent to your circumstances. Just let life happen. Ho-hum. Kind of a stoicism, being very stoic about life. He's not saying don't be passionate. Don't be full of passion. Don't be careless. Paul was a deeply, deeply passionate man. He cared about other people greatly. He served people with great sacrifice, but he was very content. What he is saying is this, and I want you to write it down. We are not to be mastered or controlled by our circumstances. by our circumstances. You know, and this lesson actually goes along with last week's lesson. Now, by all means, if you're living your life and you can improve your circumstances by fair and legitimate means, then you should do it. You should do it. But if you can't, if you have to remain and are trying in a difficult position like he did, he couldn't free himself from prison. He couldn't unchange himself from the guard he was chained to. He was there. He was stuck. It was a difficult position. And by the way, he didn't know if he'd live or die. It was something he couldn't change. And so if that's the case, if you're in a circumstance you can't change, if you can't change it, do. If you can't change it, don't be mastered by it. Don't let it control you. Don't let it be the determiner of your misery or your joy. Paul is saying, we've got to come into a state in which whatever our conditions are, we're not being controlled by our conditions. And that is what he says about himself. He says this, whatever circumstance I find myself in, I am not mastered by that circumstance. My happiness does not depend upon what is happening to me. My life, my joy, my experience, they're all independent of the things that are going on around me and happening to me. Now look what he says. He says, I have learned the secret. I'm not sure which verse that is in. Is it in 10? I think it's in 10. I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret. This is a fascinating verb that is used to speak of someone being initiated into a secret club that holds certain secrets only for those who have been initiated into that club. And Paul borrows that word here. And he says, I've been initiated into the secrets of contentment. Now, truly, he experienced the peace of God that we talked about last week in our lesson, in verses 7 and 8, I believe. But here is another thing he experienced, contentment. Now, write this down. He emphasized that this was an all-inclusive claim. Now, notice his words again. Go back to verse 12. He says this, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And then he says this, in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. He says, I know how to be humbled, hungry, suffering needs. But on the other hand, I also know how to be in prosperity. I know how to be filled. I know how to have abundance. Now, actually, neediness and abundance each have their own particular pitfalls that go with them. Now, which would you rather be? Would you rather be abounding, being full, having plenty in abundance, or would you rather be hungry and suffering need? Well, that's an easy question to answer, isn't it? Of course, we all want to be what? Abounding. We don't want to suffer need. But think with me about this morning. The pitfall of hardship brings great challenges to our life, and learning to suffer any or all of those things without feeling a sense of a grudge against God, or to do it without complaint, to do it without having bitterness in your spirit, to discover how to not be worried or anxious. That's exactly what Paul is telling us that he's learned how to do. He surely experienced every kind of trial and tribulation that's in the book. And yet, how is it that he's unaffected by it all? But then on the other hand, he says, I know how to be full, how to enjoy plenty, but there's a pitfall to the good life. You know, it's very hard for a wealthy person not to feel a complete independence from God, not to be proud. When you have abundance, you know, you're able to arrange and you're able to manipulate everything in your life, and the tendency is to forget God, to quit depending upon God. It's much easier to remember God when you're in need, right? Then you're driven to pray. But when you have everything, it's easy to forget God. Both positions are difficult in different ways. But Paul says this, whatever the position, whether in need or whether in plenty, I'm perfectly free. Poverty doesn't get me down. Riches do not carry me away. He's independent of either circumstance because his life is not controlled by it. Whether he abounds, whether he suffers need, it just doesn't matter to him. He's content in any and every circumstance. It's all inclusive. Now, I'm just going to say this morning, this is the way to live. This is the way for Christians to live. And it's very good for us to consider these things this morning. This is a mighty statement for us to put into our spiritual computers this morning. Contentment. You know, life is fragile. It's very fragile. You and I are certainly living in difficult days. We all need to learn this, don't we? This secret of living without allowing circumstances to affect our inner peace, our inner joy. It's something we have to learn. It's something we have to cultivate in our Christian lives. And so Paul has this deep love, this deep trust in God. He's independent of everything that's happening or that might happen, and he's learned this secret of contentment. Now, how did he ever get to this place? That's what I want to know. You know why? Because I want to get there too. Notice what he says again. I've learned the secret. So write this down. He becomes content through learning a secret. Now, can you and I learn this secret? You see, here is the thing. He says, I'm content. I've learned this. It's something he learned. I'm so glad he said that. It's not something that just came to him automatically. It's something he learned. Now, he wasn't always like this. It wasn't easy for him all the time. Because let me tell you about Paul. He was a proud man by nature. He was an intensely active person. Nothing could have been worse for him than to be stuck in prison with so much to do for the gospel, so many ministries depending on him, so many churches needing his attention. And there he was sitting in time out. He didn't know if he'd live or die. He just simply says, I'm okay. I've come to learn the secret. I've been let into the secret. I've been initiated into this mystery. Well, how did he learn this? Well, first of all, I want you to write this down. He learned it through experience. Now, I want us to go back to 2 Corinthians 12, where he talks about having that thorn in the flesh. It's something, we don't know exactly what it was, but it was something that made him, was very hard to live with. It's something that God allowed. Look at me, has God allowed something in your life that's very hard to live with? Is it ruffling your contentment? And at first he hated it, and at first he struggled against it. Look at verse 8 on your handout. He says here, concerning this, speaking of this thorn in the flesh, he says, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. By all means, ladies, if something is hard in your life, you should pray. He says, I prayed 3 times intensely that God would remove it. But you know what? God did not remove it. It was not removed. He at first couldn't reconcile himself to it. He was so impatient about it. He was so anxious to go on preaching, doing all of these things, and that thorn in the flesh was keeping him down. But then he was taught the lesson. Look at verse 9. And God said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. So he came to the place of understanding as a result of this experience that God was bringing him through. He had to learn to be content, to accept it in his life. God was teaching him. God knew best. And in order to keep him from exalting himself, God said, this is going to keep you humble, Paul. You need this thorn in the flesh. There was a purpose for this thorn. And you know what? I don't know about you. Some of us are a little hard-headed in life. Any of you hard-headed? Strong-willed? And you see, God in his kindness, yes, I said, God in his kindness may allow trials to teach us this very lesson and to bring us to this great position of trusting him and coming to a place of contentment. He had to learn it. And as he's going through his hard experiences in life, he's very logical. He's very he's reasoning things in his mind, and he's learning spiritual truths. Now, I'm going to give you some steps that I believe Paul walked through in his reasoning. And I think they're going to help us this morning as we walk through things too. So here's the first one. Let's fill in a few blanks. Conditions are always changing. Is that not true? Our lives are always changing. I mean, you just get through one stage of life and you're getting a pretty good handle on it. Say you have toddlers. Oh, okay, I'm getting this. Then guess what? Then they turn into school-age children. And then you kind of, okay, I'm getting this. And then what happens? They turn into teenagers. Ladies, that's a whole different story. Right? And then they turn into young adults. I mean, life is always changing. And then you get like my age, and all of a sudden you wake up and you say, oh, wait a minute. What is this about? Obviously, I must not be dependent upon my conditions, because my conditions are always changing. They're always changing. I think Paul had that in his mind. Things are always changing. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's out there for me. I'm just going to keep on going day by day, one day at a time, because things are always changing. I'm going to trust God every day. Here's a second logical step in reasoning. What matters most is my soul and my relationship to God. Now I'm going to put that in the forefront of my life. That's number one. Number one. Is it right with my soul? And are the Lord and I right? That's my first matter of importance. That's what I'm concerned about. And here's number three. God is concerned about me as a father. And nothing happens to me apart from God. Even the very hairs of your heads are numbered. I must never forget that. Because sometimes when I'm in a circumstance, it feels like God doesn't care. But he does. Right? And because I know that, I can be content in a hard circumstance. Do you believe that God cares about you? It took me a while to believe that, really, in my heart. Because I had a broken daddy relationship on the earth. I wasn't raised just to feel the love of an earthly father. And it kind of made me a little hesitant with God. I thought, well, no, God doesn't love me. But I have learned through his word, he does. I believe that. You know what? It helps me be content. Let's go to another logical step in our reasoning this morning. Number four, God's will and God's ways are a great mystery. They're just a mystery. Why does God allow things to come in our lives? Why does God permit certain things to happen? I don't know. I can't tell you. It is a mystery. But I do know this. He promises to work it all together for what? For what? You tell me. My good. That's a promise to Christians. That's going to help me be content. And then number five, every situation in life is the unfolding of some manifestation of God's love and God's goodness. Everything that happens, every situation, it's unfolding the goodness and the love of God in my life. And listen, we need to make it our business to look for the manifestation of God's goodness and kindness in the circumstances. And be prepared for surprises. And be prepared to be surprised by God. To be blessed by Him. Because His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, what did Paul learn in the matter with the thorn in the flesh? Let's go back to that story. Look at verse 10. Let's see what he learned. He said, therefore, this is what I learned. I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He learned a mighty big lesson through that thorn in the flesh. And then number eight, let's write down another thing. I must regard circumstances and conditions not in and of themselves, but as a part of God's dealing with me in the work of bringing me to maturity. Perfecting my soul is the first one, and bringing me to maturity. We know that's what James tells us. Count it all joy when you go in various trials and tribulations and temptations. Well, just count it all joy. Well, yeah, that's easy for you to say. But how can I count it all joy? Because He's working through those things. He's working to bring me, to make me complete and perfect. And then one more, number seven. Whatever my conditions may be at this present moment, they are only temporary. They're only temporary. They're passing. They truly can't rob me of my joy and the glory to come that is awaiting me with Christ. Now, even though I can't, you know, say that's exactly written in Philippians, those seven things, I think you can pull that out and see this is how Paul reasoned. This is how Paul thought. Now keep this little handout. You're going through a hard time. Pull it out. Walk through reasoning steps with Paul. Come to a place of contentment. We can learn to be content too. We don't want to grow old and be bitter, right? We want to grow old and be glowworms. Glowing with the Spirit of Christ in us, full of joy, facing all conditions, facing all circumstances in the light of Scripture. We're not going to have to walk what he walked through in verse 10, all of those things. If he could walk through that and not be robbed of joy, then we can learn it too. Are you a good learner? Go to God and tell Him, God, teach me. I want to learn this. I want my life to count for You. I want to walk in Your ways. And so Paul comes to the place where he can say, let anything you can think of happen to me. I'm going to remain exactly where I am. Whatever may happen to me, I am left unmoved. And the big principle that comes out of this, he had learned to find his pleasure and his satisfaction in Christ and always in Christ. Now, In order to learn the secret, let's write a few more things down. We must come to know Him. We must come to know Him. You know, I'm going to have to seek His face. I'm going to have to get in God's Word. I'm going to have to spend time in prayer. We must discover, here's another thing, how to have communion with the Lord. And then this one more, we're almost out of time. We must learn to find our pleasure in Him. This is His secret. He was so intimate with Christ. He had such a deep relationship with Christ that he was independent of everything else in his life. Now, this needs to be our goal, our ambition. Life may come and happen, and circumstances may force us into this like they did with Paul. Sometimes life can be so difficult. I hear things, I see people going through things, and it's just such sad times, hard times. And yet, you know, the time is coming. This earth is passing away. You and I are going to stand before God one day, and it will all be over. And at that hour, the greatest thing will be to stand blameless with great joy. And I put that on your handout out of Jude. Let me see your handout. I can read it. I forgot to write it in my notes. I love what Jude says. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. So as we close this morning, I want you to ask yourself this question. Can you say to yourself, in whatsoever state I find myself, I'm content. I've learned that secret. I'm content no matter what the circumstances are. I'm perfectly at peace. I'm satisfied. I have enough. And it's a secret. It's a mystery. Let this lesson challenge you this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bless your name this morning. I thank you for Paul telling us a secret this morning in our Sunday school lesson. A secret that he learned through experience. A secret that he learned through the life of hard knocks. His life was difficult. And yet we find him at the end of his life, he's totally satisfied, full of joy. Oh my goodness. He's facing death, and yet that has no effect on him. And we bless you that this is something that we can learn too. It's something available for us in our lives, living here in 2025, to be women who are unmoved by circumstances, but women who are fully on mission for you, no matter what happens, full of your love, full of your joy, full of your peace, totally content because we know you. We commune with you. Your spirit is in us. And then one day we'll stand before you, blameless with great joy, and we'll look back on life, and those things will seem so small and insignificant in light of the future glory of eternity with you. We bless your name this morning. Make us women who are content. Content because you are in us. You're everything we need. Convince our hearts of this. And then when that next hard circumstance hits, our Father, may we run to you and find in you everything we need. We bless your name together, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.